Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Well, if you don't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. And we are finishing up the book of Jude. Oh, just a couple more lessons left. Two more after this one. But we've just been walking through the book of Jude, just taking our time going verse by verse by verse. Remember that the book of Jude is a corridor book leading from the epistles to the study of last things in the book of Revelation. And it brings us to the idea of how to live as a Christian, how to operate in a local New Testament church. And the book of Jude corridors us to it, to the book of Revelation and what is going to happen in the future. And it helps prepare us in our minds. Notice with me, if you don't mind, as we go to the book of Jude, and as we've been getting in the habit of doing, we're going to start at verse 1, and we're going to walk down to where we are currently. So notice with me, if you don't mind, in the book of Jude, and verse number 1. The Word of God says this, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called... Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beast, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the means or mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Jude and verse number 20? The book of Jude in verse number 20, just two words, but ye. But ye. As we've been walking through the book of Jude, we've been walking through the darkness. We've been studying those that have been wanting to preach something else other than the Word of God. We've been studying the creepers that want to creep in unawares to blow things up when they're sneaking behind you. We've showed you the brute beast who's corrupted themselves. We notice as we go through here and watch over and over, as the Bible gives description of these dark things in these last times, people want to corrupt the Bible. And we've been walking through these dark things. But now we come to these two words, but ye. But ye. And we see here the principle as they're trying to get... God's trying to get their attention, trying to show the opposite, trying to show the idea of living right in a wrong world. Without a doubt, we're living in a wrong world. But even though we live in a wrong world, we have a responsibility to live right. So living right in a wrong world. When we come to these words here, they should grab your attention. But ye... So it's giving a description of all these bad things, bad things, bad things, bad things. And then almost like a stop. But ye. It reminds me of an old tale of a farmer who bought a mule from another farmer with the idea. The original farmer said, listen, this mule will do anything that you ask him to. Anything that you ask him to, he'll do. This is a great mule. So the farmer bought the mule, bought it to himself. And then he began to, the next day, work him in the field. So he went out and said, "Yah, move." And the mule did nothing. Nothing. And the guy did everything he could. He carried it. He cajoled it. He did it. But the mule wouldn't do anything. So the guy went to the original farmer and said, "Listen, that mule that you sold me, I need help. You said he would do anything that I asked, but everything I've asked, he hasn't done." He says, "Don't worry, I forgot something." So he grabs a 2x4, goes to the mule, and whacks him in the head. The mule falls over, stands up, and then the farmer gives a command, and the mule goes ahead and goes, do what he's supposed to. And the original farmer said, "I forgot to tell you, you have to get his attention first." Well, that's what God is doing here with these words. But ye, he's trying to get your attention. And he's saying, listen here, listen. All of this darkness here, they're going to do their own thing. But ye, there needs to be something different about what you do. Something different about how you live. That you should not live in darkness. You should not live in the place that these other people are living. You should have something different. But ye. There is a difference between the way a Christian lives and the way that an unbeliever lives. And unbelievers think differently than believers think. The world should be able to look at someone who's a Christian and know from the way that the person lives that guy is a Christian. You see, that is something that is missing in our world today, is the idea that Christians living like Christians. There is no difference. And because there is no difference, we can't help a lost and dying world. We must be different. Now, being different is not the goal. God is the goal. But as we follow after God, we will be different. But ye. So if you don't mind, as the Bible here gives a contrast, it gives a hard stop, it gives an idea here that he's trying to get your attention. All right, here's all the darkness, but ye. So how is it that a Christian is supposed to live. What is it that we're supposed to do? Well, the first thing I'd like to show you and to remind you of is the call to live right. The call to live right. Hold your finger here, if you don't mind, and turn with me to the book of Isaiah. And may I show you something that we find in the book of Isaiah that corresponds to our current world? Notice with me in the book of Isaiah in chapter number 5. The book of Isaiah that's towards the middle of your Bible, so before the New Testament, so Psalms, Proverbs. Psalms is usually right in the middle of your Bible. Psalms, Proverbs. Then we come to the idea of Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Then you start coming to the major prophets, Isaiah. So Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, just to help you locate it. We are looking for the book of Isaiah and chapter number 5. The book of Isaiah and chapter number 5. And notice with me in Isaiah chapter 5, and notice with me in verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. And notice with me in verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put forth darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. Here we have in Isaiah 50, or chapter 5 and verse 20 and 21, the idea that people are saying what's bad is good and what good is bad. That's the type of world we live in. And it should not be the idea where a Christian gets in there. There are certain things that are very clearly wrong in the Bible, and that as Christians we should be able to say that is wrong. As a side note, you know why God brings destruction to a Christian nation? It's not because the Christian nation is not doing, is because they're choosing to do wrong. It's because they can no longer tell the difference between right and wrong. And that's the scary place today, is that Christians no longer call wrong, wrong. They call wrong, right. And the things that are right, they now call wrong. May I give you an example? I pastored before in Tennessee, and the area that we were living in, it was not allowed to have grocery stores to sell liquor, hard liquor. And so they were trying to pass a law to allow the grocery stores to get into the liquor trade. And I got a letter from a local box store, a liquor store, a store that specializes in selling liquor. That was the only places where alcohol could be sold. And they wrote a letter to each church explaining the evils of alcohol according to the Bible, and that if Christians would behave as Christians, Christians could not vote for this law to allow more alcohol. Can you imagine that? An alcohol store writing to churches telling people about how evil alcohol is. And where we were living, that was the Bible Belt. The belt where people say that they're all Christians. Well, if everyone who was a Christian behaved as a Christian, that law could not have passed to allow more liquor. But instead, it did pass. But wasn't it funny, the idea that a liquor store had to write to Christians to remind them that alcohol is wrong? That's the type of world we live in, where Christians themselves call things that are wrong and call it right. And they call things that are right and they call them wrong. That's when we're in trouble as a nation. But this is what God is trying to get our attention. But ye, there should be a difference in how we respond, how we live in a world. We see the call to live right. Notice, if you don't mind, as we see the principle renewed in the book of 2 Corinthians. The book of 2 Corinthians. Now we go back to the New Testament. The book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. We're going to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 6. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now remember, the book of Jude speaks a lot about darkness. And it speaks a lot about the darkness of people who reject God's word, who want to teach their own thing, who want to come into church and to creep in, to make things explode, brute beast, filthy dreamers. But there's a difference between people who choose to follow after the Lord, people who call themselves Christians, but ye, there should be a difference. We understand in the book of Isaiah that we saw before that there's a problem when people call wrong right and right wrong. There should be a difference. Go to book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and we could see this even more. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, notice with me in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God and they will be my people. Wherefore, so because of all of this said before, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Here we see the call. God has called us to be separate. He has called us to live right. He has called us to separate the darkness from the light. The Bible says we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. Now, the one thing about salt is that salt can be rendered useless. And when it's rendered useless, the best it could do is just be cast underfoot. Salt has great purposes. We're called to be salt. We're called to be different. But if we're bound with the world, we're now useless. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be unique. We're supposed to be separated unto the Lord and from the world. There was a call to live right. We also know along with the call to live right, there is a cost of living right. There's a cost for living right. It costs something to live right. You know what it will cost? It'll cost your personal freedom. What do I mean by that? Well, what do I mean by that is that some people say, well, I am free to do whatever I want. That's true. But God wants you to set that aside and choose Him. Well, I can listen to whatever I want. Technically, that's true. However, there are certain things you choose not to do in order to be with Him, in order to grow close with Him, in order to maintain a testimony. For example, I'm a pastor. And as a pastor, there's a certain level of holiness, separation of God that I'm expected to have. Well, if I decide I'm going to act like every other heathen and dress like every other heathen and live like the world and listen to things of the world and style my hair like the world, well, what happens is I lose my influence. I lose some of my closeness with the Lord. So there are some things that is not sinful for me to do, but I choose not to do them in order to be separated unto the Lord. Does that make sense? There are certain things that I can watch on TV. It's legal. There's nothing wrong with it. But I choose not to in order to be closer to God, in order to be personally used of God, in order to be separated unto the Lord. Does that make sense? There is a high cost for living right. And that means that there are some things that we choose not to do. It comes to the idea where you're saying, I'm not looking for what I can do, Lord. I'm looking for what you want me to do. What do you want me to do? I'm looking for your will, not mine. I'm not looking for what I want to do. I'm looking for what you want me to do. That's what I mean by setting aside your personal freedom. You are setting aside your will for God's will. Well, that's what's going to be necessary. Right now, we live in a world where everybody's me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. Mine, 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 whatever I want, whatever makes me feel good. Well, what the problem is that as long as you're doing what makes you feel good, you won't necessarily do what God wants you to do because God will ask you to do things that are inconvenient, things that will cost you something. Living right will also cost us our social standing. Not only will it cost us our personal freedom, it'll cost us our social standing. What do I mean by that? Well, to dress like a Christian, the world scratches their head and said there's something different about them. When we no longer laugh at people's dirty jokes, well, now they won't include us as much anymore. When we identify with the Lord strongly at the job, the world doesn't respond kindly. You know why? It's because we're living in a world that calls darkness light and light darkness. And when we are different, and that's part of the problem, is that Christians don't like to be different because we don't like to stand out. Well, if you're going to serve God, if you're going to be different, you will be different. You'll be going against the flow. That if the world is going one direction and God is going the other direction, you're going to have to go against the flow. That means that at school, you look different. At work, you act different. That is part of being set aside and separated unto God. There is a price to pay from your personal freedom to your social standing. And you have to be willing to do it because God is worthy. Which brings me to the last thing as we go back to the book of Jude. The course for living right. The course for living right. How do we live right? But ye, it's talking about the darkness and now what you are supposed to do. So the course for living right. Notice with me back in the book of Jude. In the book of Jude, and notice with me in verse 20. Notice this. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. So what we see here, the first thing that we do is build ourselves up. Now, that's a good thing. Build ourselves up. Which bodes the question, how do we build ourselves up? How are we built up? How are we built up so we could live right? Well, that's a good question. In the book of Acts, in chapter number 20, you don't have to turn there. I'll tell you, I'll give you the reference, and then you can look it up later, but I'll tell you what it says. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, the Apostle Paul has come to the island of Miletus and has gathered up the Ephesian elders. And he is speaking to them one last time. And he's giving a discourse of how he's taking care of them and how he's watched over them. And at the very end in Acts chapter 20 and in verse number 32, Paul finishes up with this. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. So according to verse 32, what is able to build us up? The word of his grace. So how are we built up? By being in the word of God. So the very first thing we're supposed to do, if we're going to live right, how do we live right? By staying in God's word. Build ourselves up by the word of his grace. Being in his Bible. The greatest thing you could do on a daily basis is to be in the Word of God for yourself. And if you haven't been in the Word of God for yourself, then you are not going to be spiritually strong. I gave an illustration of a farmer before. I'll give another one now. A farmer and a preacher were sitting on the front porch, and they were watching two dogs kind of fighting. And the preacher leaned over to the farmer and said, "Which one's going to win?" And the farmer just responded, "The one that I feed the most." Well, we know that you have a spiritual war going on. You have the spirit and the flesh, and they both want different things, and they're at war with each other. You know which one's going to win? The one that you feed the most. So we use the word of God to feed us, to build us up, to make us strong. So that way, when we come to the place of spiritual decision, our spirit could win because it is spiritually strong. Some people who have not exercised spiritual strength, when they get to the place of spiritual decision, they'll choose wrong because they're not strong enough to choose right. Does that make sense? So we have to build ourselves with the Word of God, by the Word of His grace. So the very first thing as we come to the book of Jude, the course for living right, how do we live right? Be in the Word of God. Be in the Word of God. Notice as we look in the book of Jude, verse number 20, we see a second thing. But ye, beloved, building yourselves on your most holy faith, notice the second thing, praying in the Holy Spirit. praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a great phrase, praying in the Holy Spirit. Notice that it's not just praying, but it is praying in the Holy Spirit. How do we pray in the Holy Spirit? Do we just kind of put candles all around us, put incense, fog up the room with sweet-smelling things? Do we go in a trance? Do we get hypnotized? Do you learn how to put your eyes in the back of your head so that way you can look around and look freaky? How is it that you pray in the Holy Spirit? To pray in the Holy Spirit means you die to self. It means you go to God and you say, God, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to ask for. So the best I know how, I'm surrendering myself to you and ask that you tell me what to pray for. And do you know that God knows what to pray for? God knows what we need. He knows what to guide us. He knows what we should ask for. Do you know that there's times that we think we know what we're asking for, but we could ask for the very worst thing? Because God knows what's best. And so the Bible says to pray in the Holy Ghost. So it's not just praying. It's praying with the idea that you are dead to yourself, dead to your ambitions, your goals, and you are praying in a way that says, God, I want what you want. Just tell me what to pray for. And God will guide you. He will show you what you're supposed to pray. He will tell you how to pray. Isn't that wonderful? And that's how we should pray. So how do we live right in a wrong world? Well, we have to build ourselves up with the word of grace. We need to be in our Bibles. The second thing is to pray in the Holy Ghost. Not just praying, but praying in a way that we're allowing God to guide us and to lead us in prayer. That we're praying for what God wants, not just what we want. As we go to the book of Jude, we see a third thing. Notice with me in verse 21. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, this doesn't mean that we're trying to get God to love us. It doesn't mean that we're trying to keep ourselves in the spotlight of God's love. God, please love me. Look at me. Hey, look at me. Look at me. That's not what it's talking about. God already loves you. It's talking about that you are finding the space where God is pouring his love out towards you, and you stay there instead of wandering away. It means obeying the Lord and staying in the place of God's blessing. That if you realize that God loves you and everything that he's asking you to do is for your benefit, then why wouldn't I do it? It's because I realize how much he's loved for me, I have no problems doing what he's asked me to do. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to serve God in order to get something from him. I'm serving God because of what he's already done for me, out of a grateful heart, that whatever he asks me to do, it's not a big deal. I am glad to serve God, keeping our eyes on the Lord. This is what it's talking about. So how do we live right in a wrong world? We build ourselves up using the word of grace. We stay in the Bible. We pray in the Holy Ghost, understanding that we're praying not what we want, but what God wants us to have, praying along with his will. We understand that we keep ourselves in the love of God, that we recognize that how much God has done for us and how much he loves us, that I want to be at the place where I'm serving him because of what he's done for me. Always keeping my eyes on Jesus, that will keep us out of trouble. That'll keep us out of the darkness. There's one last thing that the Bible gives in this list in the book of Jude. Notice with me in Jude and verse number 21 again. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. What we're doing is that we're looking unto Jesus. We're waiting for him to come back. That if we believe that Jesus Christ could come back today, we would change the way that you believed. What if you knew that Jesus Christ was coming back this afternoon? What all things would you try to get done before Christ came back? If you believe that Jesus Christ was coming in 24 hours, what all type of things would you do? If you knew that he could come back at any time, how would that change your behavior and how you live? Well, you understand always looking to Jesus changes everything. It realizes that he could come back at any moment and that we want to be found faithful. Can you imagine up in heaven, and this is going to happen after the rapture, that people are going to be gathered around, and you know what question they're going to ask? Where was you at when you got raptured? Man, I was in church. Where was you at when the rapture happened? I was leading someone to the Lord. Where was you at when the rapture happened? I don't want to talk about it. You know why they don't want to talk about it? Because they were doing something they weren't supposed to when Jesus Christ came back. And that's going to be their testimony forever, for 1,000 years. What did you do when the rapture happened? I don't want to talk about it. I was messing around. I failed God when he came back. Well, if you know Jesus Christ could come back at any time, and you're looking forward to his imminent return, it could happen any time. It would keep us in our minds and help us to live right. We live in a dark world. We live in a world that is not right. But in the midst of our dark world, in the midst of a world that's not right, God expects us to live the way that we ought to. And we can. What does the Bible say? But ye, to get our attention, that ye need to build yourselves up. Why? How? By using the word of his grace. Stay in the Bible. How are we supposed to live right in a wrong world? Learn to pray in the Holy Ghost. Not my will, but his will. How do we stay right in a wrong world? We're keeping ourselves in the love of God. Realizing how much God has loved us. Keeping our eyes on him. And it's no problem at all to serve God and do what we're supposed to do when we realize what God has done for us. And then the fourth thing, look for God's return. Look for the Lord's return, that Jesus Christ is coming back, looking forward to him to fulfill what he's going to do, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, looking forward to that Jesus Christ is coming back, and I want to live right in a dark world. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.